I'd like to explore more. What's it like to be in a body? And for many of us, we're sitting here quietly, minding our own business, and our back hurts, and our mind hurts, and we're tired, and we're fed up, and we think, what the hell am I doing here? And why did I come here in the first place? And all we're doing is sitting quietly, minding our own business. My chickens, and I know some of you would feel very disappointed if you went back home without a chicken story from Stephen, because they're my sangha, really. They're the real sangha I live with. But anyway, a chicken that's sitting on eggs, it really doesn't have anything like those kind of problems. And it just goes like this, like we do, or it gets its eggs underneath it, maybe like we do. Although we better not translate that to Hebrew. It doesn't sound good in Hebrew. And then it just sits, as if it's been there like 100 years already. And if I try and disturb it, it gets so angry. I take the eggs from underneath. By the way, they're much, much more like us than we realize. And the title of the talk tonight could be that the chickens, they, if I open the door to their lul, to their cage, their chicken area, they have no idea that the door is open. And there's a huge world out there. They just don't notice that the door is open. And I think really we're like that. Door is open, but we don't know where it is exactly, and we just don't notice. On we had a study session, Shavuot, Leil HaShavuot, Tikkun Leil HaShavuot, and we were learning a kind of Jewish mysticism and Buddhist mysticism together, a whole group of us in Klil. And all of a sudden we heard some strange sounds. So we all went out, it was 1 o'clock at night, and went to the chicken shed, and inside there was a 300 kilo wild boar, chazir bar, huge. It had smashed the door and more or less smashed the whole place, ate a chicken, was about to eat more chickens, spilt everything, smashed everything, and it was standing there like this. I thought, whoa. We know a few politicians like that, I think. It's not so easy for us to sit like the chicken. We stop. We try and stop. But everything seems to keep going. We stop physically, and our mind just runs as if we've never stopped, and our body stops, but there's all kinds of stuff going on, and it hurts here and it hurts there. It's like trying to stop an express train. And we stop, and something doesn't feel good. Where's the telephone? Where's the fridge? Where's the snacks? Where's the diversions? Stopping is not easy. Everything keeps going inside us. We realize it's not so easy to, there's no escape. We can't advertise that on the website of Tofana. This is a place of no escape. Get ready for no escape, no diversion. Although there's lots of diversion, of course. But what happens is that we stop, and we stop to some extent the running and escaping and the diversions and the compensations and the busyness and the addictions. And things get still, and then we see our mind. Usually we don't see it, we just do it. The body is still, and we see our mind just like it's a still pool of water, and we underneath we can see all the shit and the mud and the stuff down there. But these are important lessons for us. This is a learning experience. I said it before, Mabada. This is a learning experience. We're in a big Mabada here. We want to see our life. What is real? And in order to see our life, we stop. Because if we keep running, all we're seeing is running. We need to stop in order to look and see what is happening. What is our life? And we begin to listen. What are the voices in us? What's the messages we're getting? What is our mind doing when we don't run and just act our mind or act ourselves? And we use tools that are helpful. Mindfulness is shining the light on our world. Kindness is really needed. There are tools here which help us. We're curious, we're interested. But we discover a lot that we forgot. We forgot what it's like to be in a body. Because we're so busy using the body for survival, for busyness, for acting, for doing, for surviving, for managing, for coping, managing with viruses, managing with work, managing with money, managing with the relationships, managing with the society, managing with each other, managing with ourselves. We are using the body all the time, and we forgot what it's like to be embodied. It galmut beguf, to be embodied in a body. No one asked us, by the way. We were just dropped into a body. I wonder if we were asked beforehand, how many of us want to be dropped into a body? How many would say, oh yeah, sure, I'd love. In ultimate language of a Buddhist, should we say, Sapha Ultimativi, it's not such a wonderful thing. Rebirth. Depends on what. Depends as what. But we have a chance here to allow the truth of embodiment. And that's very precious. What we're interested is in the truth of what it's like to be embodied, to be born into this being. Satcha Dharma, it's called the truth of Dharma, the Dharma truth of being born in a body. And we discover a very basic truth, which we're a kind of a whole bag, sack of comfort and discomfort and pleasant and unpleasant, and this is working and this isn't working. And that's the truth. We may not like it, but it is a truth that we have to notice. And we stay with it. And that's why we sit for 45 minutes. Because if we just have a quick look, we won't catch that. We stay sitting for 45 minutes so that the truth can kind of float up. Little tsuf. from the places we don't usually notice. Usually, as I was saying to somebody today in a one-to-one, we have just a sikkum, we have a summary of what I am, what I need to do, what's next, who, what's better for me, what's not better for me. It's a quick look, usually on the basis of me, herself, the self. Here we do give it 45 minutes in order for the whole thing to come up and we to meet our truth as it is to, of being in a body. What's it really like to being born in this being? And we discover stress, and we discover pain, and we discover joy, and we discover that there's, you know, the flower, and it, like Kamal Vered, it has the thorns, and it's also flower. And if we stay with it, we go under the surface, and the subconscious, tatakara, the subconscious, the messages that are quiet, we begin to listen to them too, they come up. And they tell us what we are carrying in this body. What is it we are carrying? What is engraved, nichrat, you say? Yeah. What is engraved? What are the messages that have been engraved in us through our life? What are we carrying? What are the messages we're carrying? That is, and we think it's our fault, by the way. Everything that we engraved in us, in our mind and in our body, we take ownership of it. And we think it's me. It's not. It's samsara, it's the world, it's all the voices that have arrived in us all our life, and then we take ownership of them. They don't belong to us. It's a wonderful, wonderful discovery, by the way. I don't have to own all the pains that are kind of coming up because I didn't invite them. They just landed on me from parents, school, society, expectations, pressures, voices from, you know. So one of the beautiful things about the big picture of the Dharma, by the way, you can say samsara, the vision of samsara or the vision of karma, is that we don't need to take everything personally. Big relief. We might not like it, it might be painful, but we don't have to add to it a person. I have to take it's me like that. It's very tricky, by the way. We have a voice, for example, of judgment, shiputyut. We may judge ourselves, I'm no good, I should be better, it should be, I should be different, etc. It's really hard to be able to do that and know that that voice doesn't really belong to us, but we took it on us. But we can do that, we can see it's just a voice that arrived and I keep repeating it. So it's very natural that we experience difficulty in when we stop. And it's important that we understand that. Again, we don't need to take it so personally. It's just natural to be born in a body. The body is mostly busy with survival. And what we experience when we're looking carefully at the body, is all that stuff, the busyness with survival. And some of you have been saying how you feel tired, how you feel difficulty, how you feel resistance or pain and discomfort and stress, and this is just so natural. This is just the seeing that it actually is what we need. It's not that when you look at these ladies up here, or you look at your neighbor, that they're the Buddha. And I'm just the one that's schlepping along, struggling with. It's not like that at all. The human condition, we're all in it together. So the first thing is to understand that it's natural gives us a chance to allow it to be what it is. And it's a fundamental movement that we are not against what arises in us. It's part of kindness. I have a whole chapter in my new book, which you can have later at the end of the retreat if you want, but it's a whole chapter on trust, because it's something we so easily forget. But trust is trusting things to arise, trusting things to be the way they are, and on that basis we can do something about them. Instead of us becoming a battleground, stay krav, we trust things to be the way they are because that's the nature of things, such a dharma. Now I'm ready to deal with it, even if it means taking a medicine. It's okay. But from a place of relationship, from a place of allowing, same with our tiredness, same with body pain, same with stress, same with restlessness, same with the crazy mind, allowing it to be what it is. Now let me see what I can do. First thing to relate to these is to see them as guests. To see these phenomena, it's not so easy, but we can practice to do that. These are guests, visitors. We're sitting quietly, along comes body pain. We don't need to kind of the identification, it's, oh, my body's like that, and it's going to be like that, and I'm no good at this, and I should be in total peace and bliss, and don't the teachers talk about joy, and doesn't the Buddha talk about liberation, and wait, yeah, what's... It's a visitor. Hello, welcome. My back pain, my knee pain, my mind pain. Welcome, I see you. This is the nature of things right now. I allow you to be what you are, but now I would like to look and see what kind of visitor you are. What is your face? It's interesting that the Buddha, after absolute total enlightenment, he taught 40 years. These visitors of the pain of ordinary mind didn't stop coming to him all the 40 years. But he was absolutely clear that they are visitors, gave them a name, Mara, which is, in, I think, the closest in the Jewish sort of tradition would be Sitra Acha, Mara. And the only thing that he needed to do, and he did with Mara, is to see Mara in the present moment, when Mara arrived, to see Mara as a visitor. All the texts, again and again, they're very, very simple. The Buddha said, I see you, Mara. And then Mara, instead of this dominant monster, became a little kind of nuisance, a visitor that just ran away. He couldn't face being seen. So our job is to see the visitors as visitors, fully gova in mind, straight in the eyes, I see you. I see the nature. You're not comfortable, you're not pleasant, but I see you. So allowing it to be what it is and seeing it, what does it seeing mean? Spend time aware of it, spend a little time seeing its nature. How is it moving? What's it doing? What am I doing with it? What stories am I adding to it? What stories am I telling myself? How am I responding? Am I saying it should be different? Am I trying to squash it, to hide it, to shut it up, cover it over? What am I doing with it? And how is this experience right now? How is the experience? In the, fine tuning, like high resolution gaze. Where is it? How is it? How is it moving? How is it changing? It's telling a story. What's the story? What music are you playing? If you would write a poem about your back pain, what would you write after the retreat? Homework, Shuri Bai. It's that look like a poet or like a scientist with a microscope, or both together. That helps us to see the truth of it, what it's like to be in a body. And we discover all kinds of things. Not only that it's not us, we discover that it's moving and it's changing and it's not all one thing and it passes. And we discover that when it goes, there's a moment of relief and joy that we forgot. We forgot to find relief and joy, but we can. When we see something that's holding us, if it dissolves, we find ourselves in a new place. What's that new place? Write a poem about that as well. So, all of these experiences are the truth of our being in a body and not a failure, a problem. We're not a good meditator because we're meditating these and we stopped. And really, you're doing really well. You can feel it in the hall. There's 100 people here. You sit 45 minutes, just sit and stop. And the whole hall has that energy of all of us sitting, stopping, and looking at our truth. So we are doing it. Even if our mind is going crazy, we only know that our mind is going crazy because we're looking at the mind. In ordinary life, you wouldn't look at the mind, we wouldn't even know that our mind is going crazy. We just drive everybody else crazy with our crazy mind. I'd like to quote from my book, Erut, that you know, but I quote it in English. And you may have heard this before, but it just, I think, says it in one short piece. I live in the middle of lots of olive trees which have an amazingly expressive character that clearly shows everything that has happened to them. If a branch has been cut, or if the tree reaches out in a certain direction, or there are lumps on the trunk, or dry weather makes the leaves fall, you can see it. The shaping of the tree is its memory, its response to conditions, and the tree doesn't have a problem with that. And there is no reason why we should have a problem either. We are also just shaped, constructed by life. We are given a body, and it develops and changes dynamically according to conditions. And we arrive in each moment as we are. And the world arises and meets us as it is. And all we need to do is appreciate it and let it be. Stories are just stories. Narratives are just narratives, and embodiment is just embodiment. If we let go, go into this flow of life, the wounds will dissolve, the scars will be softened and brought back to life, and we will find ourselves in the garden of the now instead of the prison of yesterday's. A difficult experience can come up, just like an unpleasant visitor arriving in our house. We can cry, but the next minute we can laugh, and then it's gone. So the power that we have to do this is mindfulness, sati, that's our power. As I said, the power to write the poem and to look in the microscope at what is really happening, the truth, satcha dharma. And it helps if we just simply 24 hours here in this retreat, we are sharpening the tool or brightening the light that sees, that listens, that's sati. And we spend time here practicing with sitting, walking, lying, eating. We practice in order to sharpen this tool of awareness so as we see more and more of the truth of what it's like to be embodied. So sometimes we really need to cut through things, to really cut through beliefs that we have, or voices that we believe are be true, such as judgment, or we need to cut through them. Sometimes vipassana is seen as a sword that cuts. Or we could just say cut the bullshit. Just cut. We can, the power of mind can do that. It seems quite difficult with something like tiredness. How do I do that with tiredness? Because tiredness kind of takes away the energy from the seeing and from the, it doesn't feel like a sword that cuts. But if we stay with tiredness and we ask, what is it? Who are you? How are you? Where do I feel you in the body? Where is the pressure? Where is the heaviness? What is the resistance? We explore it. We light it up, even for a moment. And then we might need to go and sleep. It's okay. The pain, exploring it, where is it, how is it, like I said. The resistance, the struggle. What is it? Where is it coming from? How is it? It's very rich. So difficult experiences actually are very rich. They are invitations. We don't just try and solve them. They are our direction. They are invitation that says, look at me, Mara. This is where you need to look. This is the writing in our being that you need to look at, that's controlling us. And a lot of times the answers that we want, when we look and stay with the truth of things, the answers that we want come from a direction that we don't know. We really want to solve our problems, but so often we don't solve them by sort of going straight like our head on a keir, you know, beating our head on the wall. They get solved from the back by just being with them, seeing clearly, staying without an agenda. I have to stop you, I have to finish, I have to repair you, I have to fix you, I have to take a pill straight away. Staying with, we sometimes find the answers come somewhere else. I have a good friend that for years he was suffering from PTSD, and he actually wasn't in the Dharma world, but he was a very much inquiring person, and he had a lot of difficulty in relationships, and he couldn't sleep, and a lot of difficulty. But he was a very much inquiring person, and he just kept asking the question, where is this thing? Where is this thing? And then one day he woke up in the morning and it was gone. Not a trace. He has no idea how it happened. But it was in a sense that his, I wouldn't say chafira, it's not rumination, it's not digging in. It's kind of being present with as a partner, allowing just kind of being in this space with it, the meeting with a partner, without expectations, without fixing, without pressure, without just meeting. And we discover many things about the body, and the body, in a way, becomes our journey for freedom. We just think the body is a kind of a load of materials, just a vehicle for carrying us through life. But it's not a thing to carry around, our body. It's a whole universe. We meet, the body is the face that we meet our life, we meet the world. Everything we do is through the body. What our needs are, what our meeting place, what our senses are, say, the eros. Our senses are alive through the body. The body is meeting constantly, vibrating with the world. The body tells us how much we're not in control. The body also tells us we're more in control than we think. The body shows us the mind, because we only know the body through the mind. So the mind and the body are really in relation, in intimacy. They're really one thing. So when we look at the body, we see the mind. Very often when we look at the mind, we see the body. Mindfulness is about that, and mindfulness is about remembering the original meaning of sati, mindfulness, in the Pali language, is to remember. And it's basically assuming that we forgot. What did we forget? We forgot to look, to be present. We forgot what our life is really feeling like. We're so busy doing our life that we forgot what it's like to be in a body. When we remember what it's like to be in a body, we will also remember the joys. We will remember being a child and playing. We will remember what it's like to just to be okay under the stars at night. The remembering goes in all these places. So sati as remembering is not just, you know, looking for the issues, looking for the problems. It's actually remembering how beautiful our life is and what a magic it is to be in a body. We remember that we're too busy with survival, so we remember something that's not busy with survival. We remember that the little baby Buddha that's inside here that we forgot, didn't quite know where to find. We remember that we're made of the universe, even if we think we are separate. We can't be separate in a body. Our body cannot be some other department, makhlaka. There is the world and there is this thing that's not the world. That cannot be. But we forgot, because we're sort of so busy in this me world, me and the world. So one thing, a very practical way, in this retreat, we can remember what it's like to be a big mind, to be able to look at what's arising, to allow it and to welcome whatever is our experience as meeting our real life. That's a big mind, a mind that can see thought, that can see our life, that can see the pleasant and unpleasant. That big mind, we can remember it right here. It's not so difficult. And with that, we remember, bit by bit, how free we really are. and we forgot. So thank you. We'll just take a moment, quiet.